to succeed in the fiercely competitive mid-size adventure bike market where Tenere's, V-Stroms and Touareg's prowl, Honda needed to nail the Trans Alp from the off. And after a day spent riding it on some of the best roads in Portugal, it was clear the manufacturer had done a top-notch job. I wrote these words in Adventure Bike Rider magazine as part of my review of the new Trans Alp from the bike's press launch in Portugal. But while I'll always endeavour to separate a motorcycle's performance from the glorious locations that manufacturers select to launch their new bikes, imagining what it'll be like on a daily commute as I meander the coastal roads of the Algarve, it can be difficult to be completely dispassionate if, like me, you love nothing better than exploring on two wheels. But as luck would have it, I'm sat next to a new Honda XL750 Trans Alp on a suitably wet and windy summer's day in the Midlands. So let's go and see if it performs just as well on the country lanes of Warwickshire as it did on the twisting turns of southern Portugal. Before I jump on the bike, I wanted to say a big thank you to the team at Halvarsens for sponsoring this video and helping to make it happen. Now, on the ride, I'll be using the Halvarsens Grooven jacket and the Yuzdal gloves. Now, we've worked with the team at Halvarsens for, well, quite a few years now, and they're a passionate bunch that love motorcycles and travel. All the gear I've used has proven top-notch and has never let me down, whether I've been on summer tours or cold winter's rides. And I've been wearing these gloves now for the best part of a year, maybe a bit more, and quite frankly, they're brilliant. The weather has changed. It was a wet and windy summer's day, but there's a little bit of blue sky up there, which is a bit of a miracle for the summer of 2023. And before we get going, I just wanted to have a quick look at the looks of the bike. And well, I think it's a pretty damn good looking machine. Honda has played it a bit safe on the styling. You know, it's not quite got the striking good looks of an Africa Twin, but I think it's nice with its sharp angular lines at the front tapering down to that tidy rear. Now this bike is a little bit different to the one I test rode in Portugal in that it has the Plus Pack on it, which is pretty much every accessory Honda can put on it. We've got crash bars, a bash plate, luggage, a touring screen, spotlights and more. If you have the complete Plus package, it ups the price by about £3,600 or so. It's cheaper than buying the accessories individually. I think it gives the bike a really cool touring, adventure touring style look, and those accessories are super handy. Now without them, this Trans Alp costs around £9,500, which I think personally is an absolute bargain. I think it represents fantastic value for money for a bike that is as capable as the Trans Alp. But hey, anyway, that's enough walking around and looking. Let's jump on it and go for a ride. Okay, so let's get going. Away from the ABR office and out on the road, and what's turned out to be a really nice day. You know, this is the first time I've been on a Trans Alp since that press launch in Portugal. And immediately I'm getting that same feeling of feeling really at home on the bike. Oh, no, okay. It's some bikes, they take a little bit of getting used to, particularly when you're on a press launch and, you know, the riding pace is pretty spirited. You do need just a few minutes to get used to the bike so it doesn't bite you in the backside. But I remember thinking that this Trans Alp is just, oh, it's good to go from the off. It feels familiar. It feels really accessible and easy just to open up that throttle and ride it hard. And that's exactly what I did. And immediately now I'm getting a similar feeling. Oh, that's a lot of traffic. Here we go, let's open her up. Oh no, Honda in
in recent years know how to make a bike that sounds great, and the Trans Alp is definitely one of those. Now, it's Africa Twin engine, though, is, oh, it growls, it's spot on, and this thing, yeah, it's like a raucous roar as you accelerate. Now, immediately, as I say, it feels like I'm at home on this bike, and I think those ergonomics, a very classic adventure bike. Immediately, it feels like a comfortable place to be. I've got a nice natural reach to the bars. My leg bend angle is pretty relaxed. I've got a pretty upright riding position, and yeah, it's not a bike that takes too much getting used to. It really isn't. One thing I am pleased to have, though, is this bigger touring screen, which actually the standard screen of the bike wasn't too bad, but if you're planning to travel any distance on a bike, and I reckon quite a few Trans Alp will be used for touring, then it's always good to have a nice big screen to protect you from wind, rain, and whatever the weather can throw at you. Yeah, the pegs feel like they're put in a pretty sensible position, and the seat, I remember from that launch, being pretty comfy. Now, one thing manufacturers do is, when you've got a bunch of journalists testing a bike, they don't let you ride it for that long in between stops. Now, that's, I reckon, because you need to get lots of video and photos, and we also have coffee breaks to keep us alert, because the pace is pretty spirited. But it also means you don't get a good chance, particularly, to test the long distance comfort of a seat, and you can tell if it's going to be bad or not. And I just remember thinking that the Trans Alp seat was pretty fine for the few hours I spent on it, and even now it feels, you know, firm, supportive, and I don't imagine you'd have too many issues with it. Okay, so what have we got in front of me? Well, switch gear. Oh, look at that switch gear. It is wonderfully simple. Now, I'm a big fan of Honda's Africa Twin. I think it is an incredible machine, and one I'd be quite happy to own myself. I once did, actually. But I think the one thing that I don't particularly like about the latest generation of Africa Twin is the cluttered left switchgear bar, which I think has 14 plus buttons on it. Well, Honda have kept it nice and simple with the Trans Alp because it is a simpler bike, and we've got on the right hand bar your start and stop button, and on the left your mode selection, function button, indicator on it. It's all simple and all kind of feeds in to that feeling that this is an easy bike just to jump on and have fun on from the very start. Now I'm going to hang a right here, so we might have to wait a moment in traffic. Now, those of you who know your motorbike history will know that the Trans Alp is a name that's been revived from Honda's back catalogue. The Trans Alp was a mid-size adventure bike in the 80s, 90s and noughties before it was discontinued. And if you've seen my video from the launch of the bike, I go into a fair amount of the history and heritage there, so I won't repeat it, other than to say, well, you know, Honda has form when it comes to reviving bikes rich in history and heritage, particularly adventure bikes, with the Africa Twin. I'll be hoping it will do the same here. And you know what? I think it's got every chance, because that Trans Alp was a road-focused adventure tourer by the time it was discontinued, and this is exactly what this bike is. It's a road-focused adventure tourer. Sure, it's got some off-road chops, but it's not a mini Africa Twin. It's a Trans Alp. It stands alone, and oh, already I'm really enjoying being back on it, having a meander through these country roads. It sounds good as well. And I think I remember one of the standout features of the Trans Alp was a 755cc twin cylinder engine. Makes 101 brake horsepower, 75 newton meters of torque. I think there's one word I could use to sum it up. It's feisty. I remember at one point my selection of twisties, I hardly got out of second gear, and there's lots of power available, you know, throughout that rev range for a mid-sized bike, but it's just a fun bike to twist and go, and You know, it is that cliche that, you know, oh, it's more fun to ride a small bike fast and use all the power than a larger capacity machine and only use a fraction of the power. And, you know, it's a cliche that's kind of quite frankly boring and dull, but there's an element of truth to it. And this really is a fun bike to jump on and push your riding a bit, knowing that the bike shouldn't bite you in the backside. All right, let's hear it. Let's hear it growl. Oh yeah, it is cool. Oh, all those good memories of riding through Portugal come flooding back. But I'm not there now. That's enough of that. I'm here on what has turned out to be a beautiful day in Warwickshire, and we're going to have some fun riding this Transalp. So what have I got below me? Well, I've got a steel frame chassis. I've got a 16.7 litre fuel tank, which, you know, isn't overly generous, but should get you between 180 and 200 miles between fill-ups, depending on how hard you ride. We've got an off-road focused 21-inch front, 18-inch rear spoked wheel setup. And you know, sometimes I think, for all its capability, the Transalp is a bit of a contradiction. You know, you've got that off-road riding setup in the wheels, but then you do have a relatively low slung exhaust and not a huge amount of glow on clearance. There's a decent amount, but not a huge amount. But I think what Honda have produced is a bike that really is an all-rounder. That is a cliche again, but you know, if you ride green lanes every weekend and you don't have a trail bike, you want an adventure bike, then there's probably more off-road focused bikes that would suit you better, you know, like the KTM, I don't know, 890 Adventure R, even, you know, the Tenere 700 or something like that. But you know, if you're a road rider who likes to commute on their bike, who likes to go on weekend tours, who likes to go on summer tours through Europe and beyond, but likes to do the occasional green lane, then something like the Transalp is probably ideally suited for you. We're about to come across a lane, actually, so why don't we take it? I'll just pull up here, whack up my visor so I don't steam up. Okay, so there is, in terms of modes, we have, let's have a look, we've got standard, rain, gravel, user, which you can manipulate yourself, and sport. So there we go. So let's pop it into the gravel mode. So that's half the engine power, lots of engine braking, majority of traction control actually, and off-road ABS. Let's have a little pootle down this lane and see what we've got. I always try and take care down here, because as you can tell from the poo on the road, that we do get quite a few horses coming down. Now on that launch, we rode a section of trail for about 6-7 miles, which formed part of the Dakar rally route. Now don't get me wrong, it wasn't particularly gnarly trail, but it was fun. It's probably actually relatively similar to this, but just less chance of meeting dogs and horses. God, this has become overgrown since last time I rode it. But for kind of pootling along little green lanes like this, the Transalp feels fantastic. It'll be nice to slow to these guys. Thank you very much. Cheers. The standing position is, it's nice and natural. I've got my City Adventure 2 boots on. It's, again, nice natural reach to the bars. Leaning forward a little bit to put a little bit of weight on my front wheel. Decent grip on the pegs. It's and the throttle response, I'm in second, it's just nice and smooth. That's it, there's a decent amount of response. It's quite a talky engine. It feels very gentle and easy. Maybe perfect for someone who hasn't done a lot of green laning and wants to explore a little bit on their adventure bike. I'm ducking out the way of the branches, just letting it coast down, engine braking. It's been raining a little bit lately. Yeah, it's a nice gentle bike to do a few green lanes on. And as with riding on trails, the bikes are always far more capable than us. But yeah, it's enjoyable bike just to cruise along a little lane. As I say, if you're really into hardcore off-road adventures, then you'd have fun on the Trans Al, but you'd probably find its limitations relatively quickly. But to be honest with you, for someone like me, an average trail rider, spends majority of my time on the road but enjoys indulging in an odd green lane every now and then, it's pretty much spot on. There's 210mm worth of travel up front, 190 at the rear. I'm going to go back to that word, capable. Okay, so back on the road, going to flip it into standard. So we cruise along these little lanes. Room for two. There we go. Now, despite the fact it's got that off-road friendly 21-inch front wheel, the handling does feel nice and agile. You know, it's not quite nippy as a bike with a 17-inch front, but it's certainly not lumbering. Nice bit of engine braking. I like how wide the bars are. Gives me quite a commanding position to peer around these turns. There we go. I have to admit, I do enjoy these nadgery little country roads. This feels like you're exploring off the beaten path a little bit, even though I'm pretty close to home. But yeah, the bike handles really nicely. It's quite nice and neutral. Certainly isn't twitchy, but it's not like steering a ship either. It's just a nice place to, it's a lively little bike. It really is. A feisty engine, lively handling, and a fun place to be. So we've had a little bit of flooding around here lately. So we'll ride right through this ford, then we get to a larger road, and we'll open it up a little bit and see what the bike's like on faster roads. Well, I'll tell you what, it may look like a nice day, but it's relatively chilly with the wind chill. I'm really glad my Halvarsson's Grooven jacket is waterproof, so water's beating on the top and not going through to me, which is grand. Okay, so while we're cruising along this faulty zone, just have a look at the TFT display up front, and it's nicely done. It's like everything else on the bike, it is nicely done. There are a selection of displays you can choose, but I like displaying one that looks like an analog clock. Call me an old man, but I like clocks on the bike. I've got my speed, my revs, my fuel gauge, my engine mode, gear position indicator. It's everything you need clearly laid out. Now, the TFT does look relatively small actually compared to the ones you find on some of the other bikes around, and I wonder if there are little bits like that that Honda has managed to save money on, because was it £9,499 for this bike out of the showroom? It does represent really good value for money, but you know, you're not getting a luxury machine, which is reflected in the TFT, you know, we don't have heated grips, there's no cruise control option on the bike at all, actually, it's not even an accessory. And you know, up front, and even on the switchgear and things like that, you know, it does, a lot of the bike does look familiar when you look at other Honda models. It's not something that bothers me in the slightest, to be honest with you, if it saves me a few quid. The build quality, it's difficult to tell after riding the bike for a day and half an hour. Honda's build quality, and generally I've never had an issue with it. And you know, it's relatively plasticky. On the dash, it doesn't scream luxury, but then you're not buying a luxury bike. But you are buying what I think is a really fun one. Oh dear. There's just something, there is something quite intoxicating and exciting about opening up this engine. And yeah, you could say that about most motorbikes, you could, but I think what Honda do really well is understated capableness, if there's two words for you. In that, yeah, it's not a premium machine, it's not a Multistrada, it's not an Africa Twin, it's not a GS, but what they do is just build very good bikes that perform in a way that kind of makes you take them for granted. Now on the Transalp, there's not really a standout characteristic apart from the sound of the engine, I love it, but everything just works in harmony, everything's capable, everything is a little bit understated, including the looks. Now that might not float your boat, perhaps you're a fan of making a statement on a bike, but if you ride a lot, if you commute and tour, you're looking for a capable, reliable machine. And Honda do some cracky ones, and it looks like it's done that with the Transalp. There isn't that gut thump of acceleration, I have to admit, that you feel on some other bikes. I'm going to whack it into sport mode. I remember on the press launch being in sport mode most of the time, and thinking actually that's the one I would ride it in most. Okay, so let's go around here and join dual carriageway. Let's open it up and see. Oh yeah, that's a little bit more power. Yeah, on the throttle stop there. Okay, a little bit fast. Cruise back down. But yeah, sport mode certainly livens up that throttle response. It doesn't have that gut thump of acceleration that you'll find on a 1000cc bike, something like the Africa Twin or the Multistrada and beyond, but it does certainly provide a thrill. And I certainly enjoyed it. I did find myself on the throttle stop. You know, if you're gunning the throttle all the time, looking for just under 5,000 revs, knock it into six. Yeah, it feels a little lumpy, so I think it's happier just under five at 70. Nice weather protection from the screen. I've got AGV's adventure helmet here with its massive scoop of a peak, which is great at blocking out the sun. It does have a little bit of sail effects every now and then, but it feels very, very comfortable. Look at those mirrors. Do you know what? At this speed, no vibration in the mirrors. I could happily sit and cruise along on this bike for a long, long time, or at least 180, 200 miles between fill-ups. I remember we sat through a presentation at the press launch hotel for this bike earlier in the year, and Honda outlined who they thought it was for. And interestingly, It seemed to be for everybody. So they seem to think that the Transat would appeal to a huge amount of people. And at the time, I just thought this was might be casting the net a little bit wide. You know, after all, the motorcycle industry is full of niches, be it sports bikes, trail bikes, adventure bikes, cruisers. You know, a lot of people identify themselves with the type of bike they ride. But actually, Honda might be onto something. And you know what? They often are, because it's a company that certainly knows how to sell motorbikes. It sells more motorbikes than anybody else. Cruise around this roundabout. Oh, the bike just feels lovely leaning into a turn. Accelerate away. Yep, there we go. What's this chap gonna do? Is he gonna... Nope. Let's go. It sells an awful lot across Europe as well. And you know what? This Transalp is the sort of bike I would buy. Now, it's not the save up or dream machine that I drool over and I'm desperate for in my garage since I was a 13-year-old boy. No, it's not one of those, but this is a bike that I would get so much use out of. It's a bike I would do everything on, and I think it's a bike that will appeal to people who ride an awful lot. Those people for whom kind of riding is, you know, it's a hobby, but it's also their main mode of transport. This is a bike I'd happily commute on every day. It's nice, and it's a cracking little machine. Yes, it might not be the most exciting bike in the world. You know, I'm not going to sit there stroking it in the way I would with a Catti Multistrada, a BMW GS Adventure. Let's slow down there a little bit. But do you know what? I think I will be out and about riding it. While you guys are sat there drooling over your bikes in the garage, I'm going to be out riding this thing in all weathers, having a huge amount of fun. Ideally, you'd have both. You'd have the Multistrada and the Transalp. So there have been a few people, a few comments I've seen online, and people I've spoken to that were a bit disappointed with what Honda did with the Transalp. They very much wanted a mid-size Africa Twin. They wanted a rugged bike that they could take to Tierra del Fuego and back. Something that was incredibly capable off-road as well as on it. I think that misses the point of the Transalp a little bit. And I do wonder how well those bikes will sell and how often those bikes are taken off-road. In the UK in particular, you know, we all know that adventure bikes spend the majority of their time on the road, and quite frankly, there's nothing wrong with that. They make great adventure tourers. Then we're passing Ragley Hall, location for the Adventure Bike Rider Festival 2024. If you haven't got your tickets already, head over to www.abrfestival.com. It is going to be the greatest celebration of adventure biking ever held anywhere in the world, I guarantee it. All the world's leading motorcycle manufacturers will be there. You can ride off-road for miles throughout the grounds uninterrupted. We've got lots of road rideouts. The biggest superstars of the adventure biking world. It is just, it's Glastonbury with motorbikes, along with plenty of posh toilets and hot showers. It's an incredible event. I cannot wait for it to come around next year again in June. So please do grab your tickets. I look forward to seeing you there. Now, I think I found something I don't like about this bike, is I don't like riding it slow. Yeah, the throttle response is nice and chilled, but I want to lean into a turn, I want to accelerate out. I think because it doesn't have that huge gut punch, that power begs to be used. I'm on camera, I'm sticking to the speed limit as much as possible because that is the right thing to do. I don't know, I said in the intro that it can be difficult to be dispassionate about a bike when you're in wonderful surroundings, doing the thing that you love doing the most, you know, traveling on two wheels in a foreign land. But actually, it also does give you the perfect setting to find out what the bike's like to tour on. Because for a day or two, you're doing just that, with a few photo and video stops as well. And, you know, I've no doubt, from my experiences on it, that the Transalp is a fantastic touring bike. It really is. I'd like to see, actually, a larger capacity fuel tank. Getting 180, 200 miles between fill-ups is fine, but personally, you know, if I can get to an extra 20, 30, 40 miles out of that, and you probably could if you run the bike dry, potentially, but I don't like doing that on the tour, because I don't carry extra fuel with me, without it affecting the, what is a really nice balance of the bike. I'd like to see an adjustable screen. Regular viewers of ABR videos will know that it's just something that I think should come as standard on every venture bike, because, you know, they're the Swiss Army knife in the motorbiking world, and they're used for lots of different things. So I like a screen that I can lift up when I'm cruising along the motorway in bad weather, and I like a screen that I can pop down when I'm riding a few trails. I don't think it's too much to ask, even at this very competitive price point. It would be nice to have cruise control option, which isn't something that you can get even as an accessory on the bike. For a bike designed for touring, it seems an unusual move. Cruise control isn't something I use much of in the UK, to be honest with you, because there's so much traffic and the roads don't really lend themselves to it. But it is something I will use crossing France or Spain, particularly if I'm in a rush on toll roads. I like to see heated grips on a bike, straight out the showroom here in the UK. Even if you don't ride all year round, you know, you'll have those days in the spring and the autumn when the weather's bad and your hands get freezing cold. And actually, I prefer having heated grips, even on not particularly cold days, because it allows me to wear thinner gloves. But these Havarsens gloves I've been wearing for, yeah, I think best part, maybe more than a year now, and they're just really good mixed weather gloves. I think I'm going straight across here. Let's go for it. That feels nice. The clutch is nice and light. Oh, hello there. It works. The clutch works nicely with the engine. It's really either to feather at low speeds, but yeah, a fun, feisty, capable machine. My three buzzwords that I banned, but there you go. They're there, and they sum up this bike. They really do. Would I buy one? Yes, yes, I would. Will I buy one? No, because my wife would not be happy if I turned up and put another bike in the garage. Having just had a new baby, alas, life has other wonderful priorities. Would I like a Transalp? Yes. And I would like a Transalp to ride every day. And that's the thing on this bike. I would like an Africa Twin for weekend jaunts and touring. I really like my Triumph Bonneville for popping out for a couple of hours and just cruising along through Cotswold country lanes and feeling the character of the machine. But what I want a Transalp for is to use every day, to put big biles on, to be a biker, to live motorcycling. You know, if I owned a Transalp, I guarantee you my car would be in the driveway a lot more than it is now. And I do tend to commute most days to work, but there's something about the Transalp that just makes you want to go out and ride everywhere. Okay, it's all getting a little bit kind of existential here, but going back to basics, what do we have? We have a really good engine, 755cc, 101 brake horsepower, 75 newton meters of torque. It is lively, it is fun, it is produces a really nice exhaust note. There's power throughout. You know, I found myself hitting the rev limiter in second on the press launch quite regularly and having an amazing time. But it is also quite happily cruising along fast roads as well as slipping through traffic. So you've got a great engine, you've got a really good chassis. The whole thing hangs together very well. It feels tight, it feels firm. The handling's great. I like the fact I've got this nice wide bar, but the thing still nips into turns with glee. You've got your 21-inch front, 18-inch rear, off-road focused wheel setup, spoke wheels. Despite that, I don't think it takes anything away from the road riding experience. I actually ride so many bikes with 21-inch front wheels now, I prefer it. It's just what I've become used to. One thing I would like to see is tubeless tires in these wheels. Because I ride, well, I ride for work, but I commute, as I say, most of the time on my bike. I cover a fair few miles. I like being able to just plug a puncher with a tubeless tire. These tubes require levers, spare tubes. It's just not something that I have in my day-to-day setup. It's not something I'm really willing to do if I get a puncher on the way to work. I like the convenience of tubeless. And I know there'll be plenty of people out there who ride with tubes for good reason. And all power to you people. Just personally for me, I like the convenience of a tubeless setup. And for a bike like this, which I think will be used for a lot of road work day to day, I think a tubeless setup would have been better. But hey, you can't have everything, can you? Oh, thank you very much. And sure, the Transab isn't particularly well specced. But I think, if I'm right in thinking, no, the optional quick shifter hasn't been added. I didn't even check that. But there is an optional quick shifter if you want it. But as standard, at that £9,499 price point, it isn't particularly well specced. You get your TFT screen. You get your 5 rider modes. That's about it. If you want more, you pay for it. From the accessories catalogue, which is a pretty decent way to go. But you know, in a world with radar assisted cruise control, blind spot indicators, things like that, mammoth widescreen TVs up front, you know, it does feel a little bit under spec, but you do have to remember that price point. It keeps going back to it. I think if you want those things, then you need to spend a bit more money. So standout features as we near the office: engine, handling. It's just a really, really well put together piece of machinery. And by adding that raucous engine note, well, that raucous exhaust note, it's given the bike a bit of character, which I think without that, it would very much be missing. Yeah, it doesn't ooze character in the way some machines do, but it's peppy. It wants to have fun with me. It's egging me on. It's eager. I like it. All right, gonna hang right here. Head back to ABR Towers. Let's go. One final open up a lap throw. Do you know what? I just might keep the keys. Will in the team is riding this as his long term. I might just pretend I've lost the keys, not give them back to him. And do you know what? I couldn't do that because that would deny him the final ride in this Trans Alp. I do like that. Do that engine. No, it's coming. All right. Nice crisp gear changes. Nice light clutch. Good standing position. Nice and natural, relaxed. All in all, a job very well done, Honda. True, not the most exciting bike in the world, but exciting enough for me. Definitely. In front of us, you've got the competition. Suzuki's V-Strom 800TE. We'll do a ride-along review of that as well. But yeah, as I jump off the bike, I just want to say a big thank you to Halvarsons for sponsoring this video and helping us to make it happen. I've been wearing their kit, the Grooven jacket, and these gloves that are a personal favourite of mine. And yeah, I wear these absolutely everywhere. If you want to find out more, check out the Halvarsons website in the link below this video. But for now, that's it on the Trans Alp. Let us know what you think of the bike in the comments section. Have you ridden it? Do you agree with what I've said? Are you as enthusiastic about it as me? I expect there'll be plenty of people who are more enthusiastic and a few aren't either. But yeah, hope you enjoy the video and we'll see you next time. Cheers.